Pastor Curtis Dieterding, and you're listening to Scripture Readings and a sermon from Trinity Lutheran Church and School in Fergus Falls, Minnesota.
The Old Testament reading appointed for this, the 17th Sunday after Pentecost, is recorded in the book of Isaiah, the 25th chapter, beginning at verse 6. On this mountain the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well-refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away from all faces the tears and the reproach of his people. He will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading for this Sunday is recorded in Paul's letter to the Philippians, the 4th chapter, beginning at verse 4. This also serves as today's sermon text. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and with supplication and with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Again, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son and sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. The king was angry, and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. And then he said to his servants, 'The wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go, therefore, to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find. And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, "Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, "Bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, peace, and mercy be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let peace reign in your heart. What do you think of, or what first comes to mind when you hear that word, peace? Think of a time in your life when you had truly experienced a moment of peace. You know, we are so anxious, worrying about so many things, that it seems like peace is often something that's very elusive. But there are those moments when we get to experience peace in our lives. Many times peace comes after a long battle. Many of you may have experienced the kind of peace that comes when a newborn arrives on the scene. A new child, a new grandchild. You may have experienced peace in the beauty of the brilliant colors that can be seen in a sunset, or in the brilliant colors of a rainbow following a storm. Or maybe it comes after years of taking care of a spouse whose health was terminal. And once that last relative was gone and everything was quiet, in that moment, you embraced a whole another level of peace. A television sitcom showed a son with his widowed mother out at a restaurant, eating together with a family that they had become acquainted with. And that family acted and appeared as though they had been living a perfect stress-free life. They were getting along constantly. It was almost disgusting how perfect their family seemed, at least to this widowed lady and her son. You could tell that this family was really at peace with one another and in their circumstances, no matter how tough things seemed to get. This mother turned to her son and asked him, "What was wrong with these people? They look like a family in denial. Someone has to help get them out of it." And so she started asking them some very pointed questions, some questions that actually revealed some pretty ugly family secrets. And before you know it, there was no more peace in this family. They were at one another's throats. I guess the moral of that sitcom scene is that there can really never be any real peace in this world, even within our own families. Now, whether or not you agree with that kind of a moral to the end of a scene like that, the truth of the matter is that peace in this world is only temporary. Temporary at best. And most of the time, it is short-lived. So is it possible for us to be totally anxiety-free, free from all the worries that attack us on a daily basis? For an answer to that question, we can surely turn to God's Word here in our epistle reading this day and receive this directive. You'll find it there on the front of your bulletin cover as well, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. If these words sound familiar to you, it's because that's the way I generally close the majority of my sermons. We come together here in worship, seeking that peace that is beyond us most of the time here in this world, a peace that we know that we cannot find in this world. And every time that we are gathered, we're immersed in this peace of God, in His grace, in His mercy, in these things that Paul is writing here in this letter. We are immersed in His peace, in the hearing of His word, in the reception of the absolution of our sins. And our hope and our desire is that we will carry this peace that we enjoy here together in this place back into the world, back into our lives on a daily basis. Our world is a very vulnerable place to live. Peace in this world is ever fragile. Countries from around the world are encouraged to live in peace, at least by those who are members of the United Nations. By the way, the United Nations Day is on October 24th, if you're interested. That's only a couple of weeks away. Anyway, peacekeeping is the goal of many nations who are members of this group. But the critics say that the United Nations is worthless. What is said at the United Nations is not always translated in action back home. Many would say that their meetings are futile because there's just too many different cultures and ideas and understandings and governments and religions, and it would make it impossible to ever have peace. And even within our own families, peace can be hard to find. Anyone dealing with a family member who is caught up in a habit of heavy drinking or drug abuse, be it illegal or prescription, or some other addiction, where you could write volumes on anxiety and worry. Some families have those shameful secrets that terminate any chance for peace, such as porn addiction, incest, voyeurism, online gambling, the kinds of activities that we don't like to talk about. Anxiety levels are increased when you get a terminal health report, or when time is being consumed by excessive gaming, when your child's grades are on the decline, when your spouse is treating you like garbage. I haven't even begun to talk about the anxieties and worries that come through our workforce and also through our management of finances. And so again, we turn to God. That's why we're here, to look for answers to the anxiousness and the worries of this world. Looking for some kind of hope, some kind of peace in our lives. And you know, when we look at God's word, we find that He desires for us to have this peace. Not as the world gives, but the kind of peace that is genuine and lasting. And we yearn for that peace as we deal with all kinds of worries and anxieties in these sin-filled lives. Like I shared with the children this morning, Paul writes, "Do not be anxious about anything." That's easy for Paul to say, but how is it done in our lives? Well, Paul goes on to tell us, "The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." I looked at that word guard because I've always used the word keep And I know that in the original translation, the word is guard, but it's guard in the sense of protection, of keeping, keeping one secure against the forces that would attack it. And of course, guard even has a deeper meaning than that. There is a deeper understanding to Paul's pointing us to the guarding of the heart by the peace of God. I mean, that's quite a picture when you think about it. God's peace acting as a guard, like a guard posted for protection at the gate of a fortress. God's peace stands guard for you. No enemy can get in to crush you. No bitterness, no disappointment, no tragedy. God's peace is centered and focused all in the Prince of Peace, Christ Jesus. And no matter what trouble may attack us, we have a God with us. We have a God who is for us. And there are other places in Scripture that describe this peace that surpasses all human understanding. Romans 8:38 describes the depth of peace like this. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. In 2 Corinthians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies, and God, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions. God comforts us and holds on to us with this peace that He brings to us in His Son. You can hear those words talking about this lasting peace and where it is found, identified in His Son, Jesus. Remember, our text even reminds us that peace of God is found in Christ Jesus. A heavenly peace, an eternal peace. Paul identified exactly where this peace is found. In Christ Jesus, even, when he wrote in Colossians 1:17 and following, and He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. For in Him, in Jesus, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. Fully identified for us, this peace of God in Christ Jesus is found in its epitome, in the blood that He shed for us on the cross. It is that peace which guards our minds and our hearts, that peace that comes through the shed blood of Jesus. Forgiveness, salvation, the promise of life eternal, there is no greater peace that we can have in this world than that. So no matter what befalls us in this life, inexplicable sorrow, surrendering to an illness that has become overpowering, rejection by a friend, a sudden death, forced retirement, sin, shame, peace is yours. God's peace. The God who is over all is running the show for us. God never gives up on us. He never tosses us on the trash heap. He still loves us. He still cares for us. His peace in Jesus Christ is the very guard of your heart. And He guards our hearts with the peace that comes through all that Christ has done for us in His death and even in His resurrection. Our Heavenly Father laid on His Son, Jesus, the iniquities of us all, and we are now reconciled, brought to peace. now to be called His children, called to live in a bond of peace. Admiral Horatio Nelson was perhaps one of Britain's most decorated heroes. One seaman who sailed with this great military man on the high seas after a bitter campaign in the West Indies had written in his journal these words. He writes, "We are half-starved and otherwise inconvenienced by being so long out of port. But our reward is this. We are with Admiral Nelson." My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, life can indeed be harsh. It feels like we can be a long time out of port. Who knows what tests and trials are out there yet on this ocean of anxiety and worry. But you have a reward. You can say, "But my reward is this. I am with Christ, and Christ is with me in His peace that He offers to us with God eternally." Indeed, you have within your peace, within your minds and within your hearts, the very peace of heaven, a foretaste, really, of the eternal peace to come. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for worshiping with Trinity Lutheran Church and School, a member of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. We are located at 1150 West Cavour Avenue in Fergus Falls, Minnesota, just behind the museum. On Sunday mornings, we have a worship service at 9 a.m. and adult and teen Bible classes at 10:30 a.m. To contact the church office, call 218-736-4869. To contact Trinity Lutheran School, call 218-736-5847. You can also visit us online at www.trinityff.org. If you would like to make a donation to help continue this broadcast, please call the church office at 218-736-4869. This is Pastor Curtis Dieterding encouraging you to go in peace and serve the Lord.